Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbury. Join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster.
Yeah, there's a famous Latin contest every year. Certamen Vaticanum. Oh, yeah, prose and poetry.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Can I enroll?
Well, if you want to write something and submit it, I got a prize in 1970.
For what?
I wrote the Apollo trip to the moon.
Did you enter
this
year? And
then the next, no. I never entered after that. I said, that's enough. And then the next, Monday morning, then the Pope will receive the prize winners and the organizers in an audience upstairs. They said, oh, they didn't want it in the beginning. 15 minutes or 10 minutes. So I wrote a little speech, very vehement, which apparently people really liked, for about 7 or 8 minutes, because they said, that's enough, you're tiring man out. I'm not tiring him out. Okay. Anyway, so that'll be Monday. But here, the Pope says, I've been using Latin all my life, and we cannot lose this. And we cannot lose these treasures. So he said, you people should go out and help me and help us all to keep this beautiful thing. I got kind of carried away.
In Latin?
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be in Latin, sir, for sure.
Can you say that to me in Latin?
Habebi tours, sermone latino oratio. The speech will be held in Latin. De rebus latinis. And the Pope starts out, he says, my study of Latin is well known to you from my youth.
Did he ever enter this competition?
No, I don't know.
As a cardinal?
No, he didn't have to waste time with that stuff. But
how'd you say waste time in Latin?
Profundere cum nugis tempus. To throw away time, nugis with nonsense. No, but he's going to encourage them. It's not going to do any good because...
You were saying that... You were saying that the Pope studied Latin when he was young.
Well, I mean, they all did in Germany, and he used it all of his life. And he says he's going to say this on Monday, I guess, in my studies and in my pastoral work and in my service of the Holy See for 25 years, the whole thing was Latin.
Does he have a German accent when he speaks Latin?
Oh, yeah. When he speaks any language. Oh, he does have a German accent. It's cute. Yeah. It's cute.
Well, why is it cute?
I mean, it's kind of, he always says the choya, my joy. Even in English, my joy.
And in Latin?
Why, what does he have? I heard a few of them. It's very, very square and very Latin, very German. But that's good. So what?
So how do you say joy in Latin?
Joy, well, gaudium, laetitia. But he, of course, we never lose it as long as we're alive. Mm. Our native accent, I mean.
So what does he say that begins with a G that makes it sound like joya?
Maybe he would say caudium, gaudium, maybe a little stronger like that. I don't know. I haven't heard that particular word, but in Italian and English, everyone knows they.
But he's very confident in Latin.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even realize that no one knows it anymore. You know, it's 70.
I think he does. No?
Well, I know, but I mean, the fact is, how much that the students, I mean, people just, students, I would say students, they just don't know it, period. And they think, oh, this is wonderful, and people are studying in pontifical universities and studying theology and philosophy, no Latin, doesn't follow at all.
In the most recent synod, I think English was used quite a bit, no?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, they never even had a Latin circulus. It was just that Lithuanian cardinal who was speaking Latin all the time. But before that, they used to have like 5 or 6 little group of Latin group, you know, of Latin speakers. This time they didn't even have that.
What is the Latin circulus for us who are outsiders?
Circulus, a little circle, a little group, a little circle. And so they used to call it Circulus Latinus, the Latin circle. And that's why JP2 complained about that in the last synod. He said, how is it only a few people are speaking Latin around here? And he complained about it. And then the next day, everyone was speaking Latin, which was kind of phony.
How do you say, but, you know, how do you say phony? Phony Latin?
Well, no, falsum spectaculum. Or falsa latinitas.
Is it easy to express concepts in Latin? Very theological concepts.
Some concepts are very, very easy. Others, especially some of our modern ones, I don't know what the content of these concepts is anyway. But the way we're talking, like the way journalists talk, you know, the realization of this programming of our final destination with a view to the horizon of the end of our life, that kind of talk is very hard to do in Latin because it doesn't make any sense in any language. That's hard. Someone has asked me, another journalist, I said, things are easy. Some of these ideas are very hard.
Did the Romans have a concept for journalists? I mean, were there journalists in the times of the Romans?
No. They had historians and they had letter writers and, but I mean, someone who would take down notes and.
But it was very factual, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't an interpretation.
No, I mean, no, you have one or two historians, but I mean, not the population. You just didn't have a whole band of journalists in the Senate. No, you didn't.
So getting back to your contest, what do people write about in the Vatican when they enter the contest?
Oh, everything. Modern, you know, events, you know, floods and earthquakes or...
Tsunami.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
How do you translate tsunami?
I don't know. I don't know what it is in any way. I know it's that whole tidal wave.
Well, tidal wave.
Yeah, tidal wave. Yeah. What are you going to say? Estus maximus. Unda. Yeah, tidal, yeah. Unda. Anyway, and so... But that's what they're going to, I think, write about, or, you know, a little story about, like, a love story or a family or a child or something like that. Well, the content depends on the author.
But who are these people who enter?
Now we find out they're most of the same every year.
But are they people who actually work for the Vatican?
No. They're all around the world. Mostly Italians, Germans, some French, you know. But they're like old, you know, Latin teachers and who are so well-versed in the thing, they can just pour this out. And the sad thing is that just about every year, they're just about the same ones. Because people aren't just, they're just not capable of doing this. You have some young people coming up who are doing things in Latin, but I mean a small...
So when you wrote your paper about Paul the VI and the moon, what did you write that he was...
No, not Paul the VI and the moon, just the Apollo 11 to the moon.
Oh, the Apollo 11.
Yeah,
moon landing.
Yeah, the whole thing, preparation, the spaceship and the...
Okay, how do you say spaceship, moon landing?
And all that other stuff. Got it. Descensio in lunam. Descensio in lunam was the lunar landing. And navicula or chimbula. Or Linter, Sidereus, that was my better one. Like a starry boat.
What is it?
Linter. It was like a skiff. Like a starry skiff was the spaceship. Well, these were kind of poetic things. Linter Sidereus. And so they write about everything. And
so what other words did you invent on that occasion?
Well, there was very inventing. It was to find them and use them and everything else, and you had to get motors, machinamenta, inversa vi propellentia, for example. Motors driving things to the opposite force, a jet or a rocket engine.
How do you say that?
Well, yeah, you say machinamentum inversa vi propellens. A motor driving with the opposite thrust, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of those things, bah. But you can say, those things you can say, some of the ideas that are going around today are very, very difficult.
How did you describe the astronauts walking around there?
Well, yeah, all that stuff, you know. Mm. No,
there were all these...
Exilia, prosilia bant, they were jumping around, jumping, not walking, you know. Propter, minus, pondus gravitatis, because of less... the power of gravity and so on and so on. Well, those things were all kind of cute. In 1970. Now that's old-fashioned stuff, and no one would write about any kind of a space thing now. I mean, it's out of interest, but in those days, to the moon. Then the next year, I wrote for another contest in Rome, the Clay Fraser boxing match.
Yeah,
that was the best thing I ever wrote in my life.
Why were you so inspired?
And that got a prize in the Capitoline Hill from Giovanni Leone. He was the president of Italy in those days. That was the next year, 71, if I'm not mistaken.
You told me that you don't like boxing, so why did you
write about it? Well, I didn't like, but I mean, that was the event of the year, the sports event of the year, the Clay Fraser thing, you know. That Clay was so arrogant and Fraser was humble and the whole thing. And then, of course, there I had to describe 15 rounds in Latin. Different, you know, a punch to the right and a punch to the left and all this.
Okay, just give me one line and then we can end.
No. intulit in intulit in genam impetum vehementissimum. Dextra mano, I don't care what. He put into his cheek a terrible punch with his right hand. Oh, one thing, crazy thing. But to vary the thing 15 times. You know, the description of, you know, I had to have them much the same length. Well, that was the best thing I ever wrote. Pugilatus certamen was the name of the thing. A test or a fight of boxing.
In the ring.
Well, that's in suggestu. That was all there, too, you know. And everything else. But that was a long time ago. Nothing like 35 years ago.
And a big thank you there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.